The BBC presents My Music. A radio panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
Hello, and allow me to welcome you to another edition of My Music. The contestants come, as the animals did into the ark, two by two. Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden on my right, competing in musical erudition against David Franklin and Frank Muir. We begin, as normally, with a little simple musical identification. What is it and who wrote it? Ian Wallace, your turn first.
Russian?
Yes.
Yes. This is Tchaikovsky.
No.
Well, I think the next bit of that would have made it much clearer, possibly, what it was.
Well, if I tell you it's the Montagues and Capulets theme...
Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
Prokofiev.
Well, one out of two, because you did get the composer as a second choice. One out of two. Dennis, a different kind of music for you, and not even the main theme. Just, you'd be delighted to know, the counter-melody.
Good.
All the same, I think you'll get it.
Just came into a bit which sounded like it might have been a bit that I was familiar with.
Yes, I had the same problem.
Yeah. Suddenly got syncopated and I felt more secure, and then it faded out. I really haven't the faintest idea what that happened, Stephen. No.
It might have gone on, as it probably didn't.
What was that, Ian? No, it was going to go on. You Only Live Twice.
Ah.
Bond film theme by, for a mark?
John Barry.
Yes, an easy mark. Yes, by John Barry. I must be generous to the other side to make up for that. David, you, I know, prefer serious music. So what name appears on this record?
Frank had just put me off by saying Liberace.
Try Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Who?
No, it wasn't good enough for that. At least I don't think so. No. Well, you must...
Well, it is Tchaikovsky. Well, it's after Tchaikovsky.
Yeah. Rather
a long way after Tchaikovsky.
I'll tell you, what appears on the record label is the title, Red Square, and then it says, Arranged at Detroit, Owen. The group playing it is the Cougars, but you get your marks by telling me that it's Tchaikovsky's...
Piano Concerto.
Yes. B-flat minor. No, Cougar, C-O-U-G-A-R.
No. Just ask.
Oh, well, you get your marks. Frank, all on your own, please. Title and composer.
I should think a staunch favourite of George III in the musical concerts on the terrace on Sunday afternoon at Windsor.
I would have guessed more of a favourite of George II, but would I be wrong?
But George III could have enjoyed it equally well, a little later.
Yes. George II was this man's main sponsor, I think. Anyway, you've got it.
It's protruding during my question.
I was trying to defend you.
Thank you. Most grateful.
Sir, title and composer, then...
What was the tune? Oh, it was... apostrophe. You walk, yes, comma.
Yes. By?
It's by the well-known British composer Handel.
Ultimately, yes, that's right. It was played there, by the way, by the Black Dyke Mills Band. Very nicely played, too. You got 2 marks, Frank. From time to time, literary people, writers, make comments on the subject of music. Let's see if you can attribute these remarks correctly, perhaps with a little help. Ian, who wrote in his autobiography, "I thought long and earnestly, but never for a moment about music, poetry, or pictures. The whole world of beauty and romance was summed up for me in clothes."
Clothes?
Mm.
Coleridge Taylor.
Oh, lovely. Coleridge Taylor or Cutter. Oh, it's a very worthy attempt.
Or,
yes.
Or
a dandified person in,
yes,
music.
Sir Thomas Beecham.
Yes, in his autobiography, A Mingled Chime. It was he who said he thought only of clothes.
It's a marvellous book, actually.
Yes, it is. Dennis, here's a purple passage related to music. "We swing up the dizzy arpeggios as a hunted mountaineer might leap from crag to crag. We come down a run of demi-semi-quavers with the blind confidence of men trying to shoot the rapids of Niagara." Who dreamed that up, do you think?
Well, it's the sort of prose you only read nowadays in football writers. English, I take it, yes. Yeah.
Playwright? Novelist?
Priestley?
Yes.
Priestley?
Yes, yes, it was J.B. Priestley in an essay who wrote about those demi-semi-quavers and things. Yes, all right, so you get the mark. I said I'd help you, and I'm helping all four of you on this. David, who said, "I had a dream the other day about music critics. They were small and rodent-like, with padlocked ears, as if they had stepped out of a painting by Goya."
Stravinsky.
Yes, dead right for a mark. It was, in fact, Igor Stravinsky. Yes.
When music critic ears are not padlocked, they're very dangerous. I've always thanked God that I was never singing in the days when Bernard Shaw was writing music criticism, because he got pretty rough. Do you remember that thing he wrote about a tenor called Signor Mazzini? He wrote, "Signor Mazzini cannot act, but his throatiness and extraordinary aptitude for going flat would establish beyond question before the end of the first act." And there's another one, Monsieur Lestellier, who was singing Don Ottavio at Covent Garden, which he has two great arias to sing, Della Sua Pace and Il Mio Tesoro. And he wrote last night at Covent Garden, Monsieur Lestellier left out Della Sua Pace. He'd be well advised at the next performance to leave out Il Mio Tesoro as well.
The marvellous thing about Bernard Shaw's criticisms was it was a star, wasn't it, he wrote for, was that they were written in English. They weren't written in that peculiar Sude's Corner prose, which is so frequently used by music critics, even nowadays, to write about music.
Yeah.
Frank, by the purest good fortune, I was not about to read to you one of the quotes that David's just given us.
I think that's a hint.
Nevertheless, Frank, here is a comment by a critic. "I like listening to Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony just as I like looking at a fuchsia drenched with rain." Who might that have been?
It's a bit fanciful, isn't it?
Egocentric.
Was it Alan Dend?
No, he didn't write Ego 8.
Oh, that's James Agate.
James Agate, yes. I did try to give you a hint and you didn't take it. I think a half mark is there. It was James Agate who wrote that in, as I say, Ego 8, one of his autobiographical works. Coming your way next, a piano medley. 6 songs for which you combine 2 and 2. Ah, yes. This is where you get the pens, ink and paper out.
On with the glasses.
So as to guess the titles of the tunes as they fly by.
We can't decide which they are. We're just arranging tactics. Sorry, sir.
This argument every time. If you took them alternately, I'll take the first one. You take
but
the second.
Supposing you only know 1, 3 and 5 and I know 2, 4 and 6.
Do you mind? We are going into it, and this is disturbing our concentration.
I will resume. Ian and Dennis working together first, pen and paper poised. Here are your 6 tunes.
did you get it?
The first was Dear Little Cafe.
Yeah. Yes.
And then was there something about a man with a... Can't get a man with a gun?
I thought it was I get a kick out of you.
Yes. You're right, Dennis, it was. Yes, yes. I get a kick out of you.
Yes, yes. You get a kick guns. With a gun sometimes.
Yes.
Then Diane.
Yes, before that was... Oh, there were two before that.
Oh, well.
All my loving, but you didn't get it. No, that doesn't count.
And the last one was White Dove.
Yes, you said Diane, Dennis, and Ian said the White Dove. You missed Orpheus in the Underworld. 4 half marks, so that's 2 marks to you out of 3.
Pencil poise now.
Another medley, this time it's David Franklin and Frank Muir.
Here we go. Bottom button up.
Half a mark.
Right.
Yes. Then came.
A room with a view.
No, I'm afraid not.
What? Feet of straw are poking through the toes at the moment. What was it?
I can't give that. It was Blue Room.
Oh,
not a room with a blue. Blue room.
Well, get half a room for...
No, you don't.
It's To a Wild Rose.
Yes, that's right. That was the third one by McDowell.
The fourth was an air from Bowen.
No, a phrase from Bowen.
A phrase from which Labo. Aria?
Oh, no. I've got the opera.
It was the Labo from La Bohème.
Oh, no, I'm not giving you that. It was They Call Me Mimi.
Well, I was just getting round to it. Well, don't I get a quarter of a mark for Bohème?
We don't deal in quarters.
Well, wasn't there something about your being generous to us this evening?
There was, wasn't there? I'll give you a quarter mark. You've won your point.
Right, the fifth was a snatch from the Master Singer.
Now, for another quarter mark, which snatch?
You didn't ask that. You don't have to do that.
Oh, it was from the last act.
Or one of the acts. It's irrelevant.
You're right, Frank, it is from one of the acts.
Ah, right. It's Prize Song.
Yes, thank you. I'll give you that. Yes, half a mark. Prize Song. And the last one?
Heads of Oak.
Hearts of Oak.
What a bitch. I don't think you can really dispute that point in your showing this evening.
To be strictly correct and to avoid all those angry letters from listeners, Heart of Oak. There isn't an S. You've got 1 1/2 1/4. That's 1 3/4. I wonder how your memory is moving on for the words of songs. Words out of the middle, too. We see how you get on. Just the title of the song, please, is all I ask for a mark. Ian Wallace. To rent this little nest and get a bit of rest.
Oh, yes.
That's from...
There we are, out of cigarettes, title. Holding hands and yawning.
Title.
See how late it is.
Title.
Two sleepy people.
Thank you for a mark.
Yes.
I fancy this might be a quick round, but I see I'm foredoomed. Dennis, while reminiscing, I'll be kissing you.
Harry Roy, I'm stepping out with a memory tonight.
Well done for a mark, yes. David, she wouldn't have a Willie or a Sam.
Henry VIII, I am.
Yes, I am Henry VIII, I am. Frank Muir, saw me off a yard or two, I'll tell you when to stop.
All I want is a little bit off the top.
And there's a mark and a quick round. Yes, well done. This next round concerns operetta. A particular operetta, many people, I think, would say the operetta. Ian, can you give me the names of the 6 most memorable grisettes at Maxime's?
I think they got names like Honorine and Clo-Clo and
Fou-Fou and
Chouchou
and Fifi and De La Bonbon.
Keep going.
How am I doing?
You've got 2 out of 6, if I heard you correctly.
I'll
tell you. They're Lolo, Dodo, Juju, Clo-Clo.
Clo-Clo, yes.
Margot and Fou-Frou.
Why, I said Fou-Frou.
You also mentioned.
Yes.
So you get, I think you get 1 mark out of 2, near enough. Let's hear Count Danilo savour their names in the operetta.
Dann bin ich zu Maxim, dann bin ich sehr intim. Ich tute alle Damen, rief sie beim großen Namen. Glocklum, Margot, Fru, Fru, sie lassen mich vergessen, das teure Vaterland.
And I may tell you that if I'd written just that tune, I would retire happily from the musical scene. Yeah. What a lovely tune. Anyway, you've got one out of two. Dennis, you're a writer with a special interest in writers and a wide knowledge of the musical stage, as we've learnt in this series. You should know, then, I think, who wrote the book of The Merry Widow.
You always do this to me.
Great build-up.
Quite apart from not knowing it, you then make me feel guilty about not knowing, as though I have in some way let you down. Can I come round and wash your car? No, I don't know who wrote that. I tell you something. I know who wrote part of the lyrics for the film.
That would be lovely. That would be lovely to know.
For the original film, which was the Lubitsch film, the one with Chevalier and Jeanette MacDonald, Lawrence Hart rewrote some of the lyrics.
Of Rogers and Hart.
Oh, yeah. Ronald Lawrence Hart of Rogers and Hart.
I think that piece of information is worth a mark, don't you, ladies and gentlemen? What an indulgent lot you are. Yes. One out of two. The answer to the question, of course, was Victor Leon and Leo Stein.
Oh, I didn't know.
The story was based on Meillac's comedy L'Attaché d'Ambassade. English adaptation by Edward Morton with lyrics by Adrian Ross. David.
just thought of a lovely name for David for this programme, the Eminence Grisette.
Or Frou Frou Franklin.
Frou Frou, as you shall be from now on. My particular favourite song from The Merry Widow is sung by a character named Camille. For your two marks, can you tell me who the singer is on this recording?
To coin a phrase, is this En Veri G?
Yes. En Veri G, yes.
Nicola Gedda.
Gedda, yes, that's right. Former member of the Don Cossack Choir. Good. There's two marks, if ever I heard two marks. Frank, here's Schwarzkopf, that's the widow in the final scene. After we've heard it, see if you can tell me who the stars were in the original London production at Daly's in 1907.
Stars of the Merry Widow, George Grossmith.
No.
A Fairy Whisper.
No, not George Grossmith.
Not George.
George.
No, George Grossmith is
George Diary
of a Nosebleed.
George Graves, yes. Frufru's got it.
Frufru's got it.
Yes. Who played the widow?
No? The widow? Madame Mouy.
No. I really can't
Madame
do more
Clico.
Than give you... I'll give you three quarters of a mark.
She played with Verve.
For that one name. Lily Elsie, Joseph Coyne, George Graves. The closing round of our show traditionally involves our contestants in a bit of singing.
Oh, good.
Equally traditionally, we leave Ian until last. Dennis, beginning then with you. How bright is Leanne Dexelmar, alias Ava Gabor? How bright?
Ava Gabor?
Yes. Leanne Dexelmar.
Oh, wait a minute. Ava Gabor was in Gigi.
That's right, you're there.
A bit thick.
How bright? Yes, she's so bright. Yes.
You got it, yes. She's...
Wait a minute. She's so bright she could light Fontainebleau tonight.
Yes, she's on show tonight. She's aglow tonight. She's so bright she could light Fontainebleau tonight. A wonderful couplet. Yeah. Louis Jourdan sang it in the song But She's Not Thinking of Me in the film Gigi. You, 2 marks, you did very well there. David, what brought the Infanta to my house?
The stork.
I had a little nut tree, nothing would it bear, but a silver nutmeg and a half a pint of beer. The King of Spain's daughter came to visit me, all on account of my little nut tree.
Yes.
I've always thought that that was heavy with symbolism and most of it very dirty.
Whatever turns you on. Yeah, there you get 2 marks for that. Frank, if I owned a sound film of you, how many times per week would I screen it? Yes, you're there.
76.
No, not quite.
Between 76 and 90 with repeats. Because it's...
77.
No, 76. No. There are only 6 midnights in 7 days.
Oh, I say, yes. Well, what's the song, first of all?
If I had a talking
I would give 10 shows a day and a midnight matinee.
I would give 10 shows a day.
Yes, that's right, a midnight matinee.
And a midnight matinee. And it's also, I play it again every time I felt blue. Who?
Deserve to be accounted for as well.
10 times a day and a midnight.
You certainly get 2 marks. Jolly good. Ian, who conned you out of your money by saying tweet?
It could be a hi-fi expert. but I think this is what might be described as an audience participation song.
Yes,
and,
yes, you could call it that.
I would be very happy if the audience would participate. Do you think you could give us something on the Celeste Aida just for a moment there?
Always assuming.
Touch up on the Celeste.
Always assuming. We have the same song in mind. Well, One day we shan't have.
Yes, right. Oh, Celeste.
That's like it.
Yes.
She was a dear little dicky bird. Chip, 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 she went. Sweetly she sang to me till all my money was spent. Then she went off song. We parted on fighting terms. She was one of the early birds, and I was one of the worms.
Thank you, Ian. And that's where we five say goodbye until the next edition of My Music. You might like to know that as far as the marks are concerned, it's a victory by 2.5 marks for David Franklin and Frank Muir. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were David Franklin, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden, and Ian Wallace. The questions were compiled by our chairman, Steve Race, and the program was produced for the BBC by Tony Shryan.